I chewed some cereal, sipped some coffee, and said, "It must be hard on you, the new body. A big change after so long in the first one." She blinked at me, eyes briefly wide with surprise. Yes, it has been. Are you doing okay?" She looked thoughtfully at her cereal for a moment. "Headaches," she said quietly. "Memories that aren't mine. I think they belong to the original owner of this body. They come mostly in dreams. It's hard to sleep." She sighed. "And of course, it had been 140 years since I'd put up with either sexual desire or a monthly cycle." I swallowed cereal carefully instead of choking. "It sounds, awkward and unpleasant."
"Very," she said, her voice quiet.
Then her cheeks turned faintly pink.
"Mostly. Thank you for asking."
Then she took a deep breath, exhaled briskly, and rose, all businesslike again.
"In any case, I felt I owed you an explanation."
"You didn't," I said, "but thank you." Automatic weapons fire ripped the dew-spangled morning. Lucio was moving at a full sprint before I'd gotten my ass up off the rock. I wasn't slow. I'd been in enough scrapes that I don't freeze at the unexpected appearance of violence and death. Captain Lucio, however, had been in a lot more scrapes than that and was faster and better than me. As we ran, there was the continued chatter of weapons fire, screams, and then a couple of awfully loud explosions and an inhuman scream. I caught up to the captain of the wardens as we came into sight of the breakfast area, and I let her take the lead. I'm pig-headedly chivalrous, not stupid. The breakfast area was in a shambles. Folding tables had been knocked over. Blood and breakfast cereal lay scattered on the rocky ground. I could see two kids on the ground, one screaming, one simply doubled over in a fetal position, shaking. Others were lying flat, faces in the dirt. Maybe 30 yards away, in the ruins of what had been a blacksmith's shop, the only remaining brick wall was missing an enormous circle of stone. Simply gone. Probably in one of those weird, silent green blasts Ramirez favored. I could see the barrel of a heavy weapon of some kind lying on the ground, neatly severed about a foot behind its tip. Whoever had been holding it was likely gone with the bricks of the wall. Ramirez's head appeared at the hole in the wall. He had dark brown fluid spattering one side of his face.
"Captain, get down!"
Bullets hissed down, making whistling, whipping sounds as they kicked up dirt a foot to Lucio's right, and the report of the shots reached us half a second later. Lucio didn't waver or slow. She threw her right hand out, fingers spread. I couldn't see what she'd done, but the air between us and the slope of the mountain above suddenly went watery with haze.
"Where?"
she shouted.
"I've got two wounded ghouls here,"
Ramirez shouted.
"At least two more upslope, maybe 120 meters.
As he spoke, one of the other wardens rolled around the end of the broken wall, pointed his staff upslope, and spat out a vicious-sounding word. There was a low hum, a sudden flash, and a blue-white bolt of lightning snarled up the side of the mountain in the general direction of the shots. It struck a boulder with a roar and shattered it to gravel, the sight bizarre through the haze Lucio had conjured.
"Watch it!"
Ramirez screamed.
"They took two of our kids!"
The other warden shot him a horrified look and then dove for cover as more gunfire spat down the mountain. He let out a short, clenched-toothed scream and grabbed at his leg, and one of the kids not far from him gasped, clutching at her cheek.
"Damn it!"
snarled Lucio. She slid to a stop and raised her other hand, and the haze in the air became a rippling blur of moving color that made the entire mountainside look like some enormous desert-themed lava lamp. Shots began to ring out, singly, as the attacker fired randomly into the haze. Each one made trainees cringe and gasp.
"Trainees! Stay down,"
Lucio trumpeted.
"Stay still. Be quiet. Do not give your position away by sound or movement."
Bullets struck the ground near her feet again as she spoke, drawing the fire to herself, but she didn't flinch.
though her face had already broken out in a sweat with the strain of holding up the broad obscurement spell.
Dresden,
she said between gritted teeth.
Only one of those things is keeping fire on us. He's pinning us down while the other escapes with hostages. We must protect the trainees foremost, and we can't help the wounded while we're still taking fire. You hold the haze and keep them hidden, I said, drawing a shot in a puff of dirt of my own. I sidestepped judiciously. Shooter's mine. She nodded, but her eyes showed something of wounded pride as she said,
Hurry, I can't hold it for long.
I nodded to her and looked up the mountainside, and then I shook my head and drew up my sight.